God's gifts to the church. In lesson one, you learn the purpose of your care group, so that you may become mature man of God, knowing the heart of your heavenly Father. In this lesson, we will see how our Father God makes that happen. We read in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I already set you apart for myself. I have specific plans for your life." That makes each one of us equally important to our God and special. We are all and together needed to help him make his kingdom rule come here on earth. He desires that this kingdom fill your heart, your care group, the place where your heavenly Father puts you for now, and that his kingdom fills all of Africa and the entire world. So he has a specific plan for what he wants to do through you as well. Questions to discuss. Are you willing to say to your fellow care group brothers now, "I am willing and ready to find out what Father God wants me to do for him"? Are you ready to find this plan for yourself by learning to listen to God as he speaks to your heart, to your spirit? If so, ask him. Can your brothers help you to hear God better? Will you find out faster if you use the gifts that God may first give to some of your brothers? Yes, God gives you gifts so that you can do what he has specifically planned for each one of you in your life. You know, don't you think that if he has a plan for you, he will also give you the tools needed to fulfill that plan? He is a reasonable and fair Baba. Those tools he gives, the Bible calls gifts. And of course, they are presents, gifts. Does this not add to what we have already talked about, that we are all extremely important to him, and therefore important to each other? We already read in lesson one the following, but I repeat it, because it connects lessons one and two. It is Romans 12, verse 4 through 8. "We have many members in one body, but all these members do not have the same function. Having then differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If you have the gift of prophecy, use it in proportion to our faith. If it is ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who has a gift to teach, let him teach. He who has a gift to lift up people's spirit, let him do just that. He who has a heart that always wants to give, let him do that liberally. He who has an ability to lead people, let him do that diligently. He who loves to show mercy, let him do that with cheerfulness." So, questions for discussion again. But first I read off the list of gifts we just now read about. Please listen good, because that is what the question is about. There is a gift of prophecy, to tell someone what God wants to tell to that person. A gift to teach. A gift to lift up people's spirit, to encourage them. The gift of a heart that always wants to give, a gift to lead people, and a gift of the heart that wants to show mercy. So here are the questions then. Are you willing to share with each other right now what you feel that you are good at, what gifts you have received already? Are you willing to begin using those gifts in your care group? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 gives a list of people that God gives to the church. People with a calling. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, people anointed by God to perform miracles. Then people who receive gifts of healings. Then people who have a heart that wants to help others. People who are good in administration. They are good organizers. People who receive abilities to speak in different tongues, languages, spiritual languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. And that is not for now, but the excellent way is in 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul begins there by saying, I can have all the gifts in the world, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. The biggest gift of all is that we may love one another. Well, I'd like to share with you, brothers, why I am working for our Lord among you here in Africa. It's not something that I felt might be good, and that I therefore would like to do it, and that I would be good at it. But it is because God called me so extremely clear that I just cannot do otherwise but follow Him. I have to follow His leading. And the manner in which He called me leaves also not much room in my heart for being prideful. There is much power in knowing to have been sent, just as it is said in Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall a person preach unless he is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. God called me 10 months after my wife had gone home to be with Him. She had died because of a highly aggressive brain tumor. She had overnight suddenly become totally paralyzed on her entire right side, and the next day we learned that she had incurable brain cancer. It became for both of us a very traumatic experience that made us cry out to God like we had never done before. And you know, it is exactly then that God comes to stand beside us in our grief. And He is then grieving too, with us. Psalm 116 verse 15 says it so beautifully, and it was such a comfort to me when I read it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. It is also in such deep trauma that we finally cry out loud, and it is then that we see Father's promise of Jeremiah 29 verse 11, become so real. Here it is. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. As a little baby, I had felt severely deserted and lonely, and that had created a bitter wound in my heart. I must have felt that I deserved to be loved, and little babies are deserving of love. But I did not get hardly any love that could satisfy me. Because of that, I just could not handle my loneliness when I now was left behind, and I was devastated. In that kind of a traumatic situation, a person will cry out to God with all his heart, and Father God hears, especially then. He hears any one of us in such deep crying from the bottom of our heart. He came very close to me then and became my only comfort. 10 months after my wife had died, I suddenly received, to my great surprise, 4 prophecies from people I did not know at all. And in less than 3 days' time, and I had not asked them to prophesy over me, instead, they appeared to be under compulsion to have to speak to me. All prophecies had the same basic content, that I would be a father to many young men who had not had a father of their own. The 3rd and 4th prophecy had very much detail, and I like to give you here the 3rd one, as it was much shorter and yet had so much detail. That prophecy has been fulfilled also in amazing detail, and I am in awe of the special attention the Lord is giving to me. What a privilege it has been for me to be called and to be allowed to serve him like this. He forgave me of so much sin. Then he called me so wonderfully clear that I love him now enough to want to keep on following his leading, whatever the cost may be to me. God seeks people who are willing to give him their all. God seeks people who are willing to give him their all. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for my sake will find it. Well, here is then that 3rd prophecy exactly as it was given to me. I believe that not only is your day coming, but the day is coming when your heart's desire is going to so satisfy you where it has been such a frustration. And even when your mind has told you it is impossible, there will be times when you will hear the Holy Spirit say, but I am, in fact, the God of the impossible. And he is about to move on your behalf and do that which is impossible. It's impossible for you to do it. It's impossible for you to orchestrate it. It's impossible for you to redeem yourself in such situations. It's absolutely impossible. And he is going to redeem that in you which belongs to him. And it has been painful, but that is the process everyone must walk through to come to the fulfillment of God's plan. Therefore, you are no different than anyone else. You know, there are a lot of things in your heart that you have stuffed down in there for a long time. And some are good things, and they need to come to the forefront. Yes, there are a lot of good things. Good things. The other word I heard in regard to you was that once you've gotten past all of these things and resolved them in your heart so that you have peace in your own heart, and there is not conflict anymore, and the wondering that you're going to mentor others. Lots of young men. Lots and lots of young men. Lots of young men. Few maybe now, but nothing like the brood you are going to have someday. And it's going to be very, very good. It's going to be very good. And you will have what they need, not what they want. Can you see how amazing it is to find myself now with you, man? I could never have put this together in my life. God did it all. And it is an honor for me to help you come close to our God and Father. I give you this testimony from my life, my own life, because it illustrates so clearly how God chose to use a prophet to speak to me clearly and accurately. I don't think I could of myself have been able to hear God speak so clearly. It is not a gift I have. At least I did not have then. Sometimes I have it now too. But this was such a very clear and accurate witness, such a clear prophecy. And I know that it was clear and accurate because it has been fulfilled in my life already. Yes, we need each other in a care group fellowship. Now we are going to have again a few questions to discuss, but first I want to repeat the second list of gifts, and that was a list of people with gifts. Okay, listen well. God gave us in the body of Christ, the church, apostles. That is, people who go out and start new churches in areas where people have not heard the gospel. So there are apostles, there are prophets, teachers, people who are anointed by God to do miracles, people who receive gifts of healings, people with a heart to want to help, administrators, otherwise said, good organizers, people who speak in spiritual tongues. And here are the questions then. Are you willing to share with each other right now? If you have received one of these areas of ministry from the Lord, are you willing to begin using these gifts that you have received in your care group? I close this lesson now with a few quotes from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more, that you prophesied. And then 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church. Man, let it be for edification of all of you in your care groups. Ephesians 4, verse 8. When Jesus ascended on high, he led captives with him and gave gifts to men. And it talks about Jesus taking captives, people who had died in the Old Testament days and were waiting for their redemption. They were waiting for Jesus dying for their sins also on the cross. And so he led them into paradise. Romans 11, verse 29. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God bless you, man. End of the lesson.